Translation between the lands inhabited by living entities and those that are uninhabited. Stands the great mountain which separates the two, which is therefore known as Loka Loka. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Loka Loka is being installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Gur Loka, Uber Loka, and Svar Loka, to control the rays of the sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries from the sun up to Dhruva Loka distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain. Because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhruva Loka, it blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. For a part, when we speak of Loka tribe, we put a few planetary systems, Guru, Guruva, and Swan, which the universe is divided. None of these planetary systems with eight directions, namely east, west, north, south, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest. Loka Loka Mountain has been established as the outer boundary of all the lokas, which distribute the rays of the sun and other luminaries equally throughout the universe. This vivid description of how the rays of the sun are distributed throughout the different planetary systems of the universe is very scientific. Sukadeva Goswami described these universal affairs to Maharaj Parikshit as he heard them from his predecessor. He explained these facts 5,000 years ago, but the knowledge existed long, long before. Because Sukadeva Goswami received this vivid succession, because this knowledge you step into this concession is perfect. The history of modern scientific knowledge, on the contrary, does not go back more than a few hundred years. Therefore, even the modern scientists do not accept the other factual presentations of Srimad Bhagavatam. How can they deny the perfect astronomical calculations that existed long before they could imagine such things? There is so much information we gather from Srimad Bhagavatam. Modern scientists who have no information of other planetary systems and neither hardly conversant with the planet in which we are now living. Next 38. Learned scholars who are free from mistakes, illusions, and propensities to cheat have thus described the planetary systems and their particular symptoms, measurements, and locations. With great deliberation, they have established a truth that the distance between Sumeru and the mountain known as Loka Loka is 1/4 of the diameter of the universe. In other words, 125 million yojanas for 1 billion miles. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti has given accurate astronomical information about the location of Loka Loka Mountain, the movements of the sun globe, and the distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe. However, the technical terms used in astronomical calculations given by Yojana are difficult to translate into English. Therefore, to satisfy the verb in the include the exact Sanskrit state given by Srila Krishna Chakravakaga, which records exact calculations regarding the universal affairs. On top of Lokaloka Mound are four Gajapatis, the best of elephants, which were established in the four directions by Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of the entire universe. The name of those elephants are Rishabha, Pushkachuda, Vamana, and Aparajita. They are responsible for making the planetary systems of the universe. The Supreme Personality of God is the master of all transcendental opulence and the master of the spiritual sky. He is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, the silver soul of everyone. The demigods led by Indra, the king of heaven, are entrusted with seeing to the affairs of the material world, to benefit all living beings and all the varied planets, and to increase the power of those elephants and of the demigods. The Lord manifests himself on top of that mountain in a spiritual body, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Surrounded by his personal expansions and assistance by Vishnu Seva, he exhibits all his perfect opulences, such as religion and knowledge, and his mystic powers, such as Animavahima and Mahima. He is beautifully situated, and he is decorated by different weapons in his four hands. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of God, such as Narayana and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all varied planets created by his personal potency and yoga maya. Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sambhavami Atmamaya, I appear from my personal potency. The word Atmamaya refers to the Lord's personal potency, Yoga Maya. After creating both the material and the spiritual world through Yoga Maya, the Supreme Personality of God personally maintains them by expanding himself in different categories as the Vishnumurtis and demigods. He maintains the material creation from beginning to end, and he personally maintains the spiritual world. My dear King, outside Lokaloka Mountain is the tract of land known as Aloka, which extends for the same breadth as the area within the mountain, in other words, 125 million yojanas, or 1 billion miles. Beyond Aloka Varsha is the destination of those who aspire for liberation from the material world. It is beyond the jurisdiction of the modes, of the material modes of nature, and therefore is completely pure. Lord Krishna took Arjuna through this place to bring back the sun. The sun is situated vertically in the middle of the universe, in the area between Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka, which is called Antariksha, outer space. The distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe is 25 koti yojanas, or 2 billion miles. Per part of the word koti means 10 million, and yojanas is 8 miles, the diameter of the universe is 50 koti yojanas, or 4 billion miles. Therefore, since the sun is in the middle of the universe, the distance between the sun and the edge of the universe is calculated to be 25 koti yojanas. The sun is known as Viraja, the total material body for all living entities. Because he entered this dull egg of the universe at the time of creation, he is called Mar Tanda. He is also known as Hiranyagarbha because he received his material body from Lord Brahma. Therefore, the post of Lord Brahma is meant for highly elevated spiritual events, living beings. When such living beings are unavailable, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, expands himself as Lord Brahma. This takes place very rarely. Consequently, there are two kinds of Brahma. Sometimes Brahma is an ordinary living entity, and other times Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma spoken of here is the ordinary living being. Whether Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or an ordinary living being, he is known as Vairaja Brahma or Hiranyagarbha Brahma. Therefore, the Sun God is also accepted as a Vairaja Brahma. O King, the Sun God and the Sun Planet divide all the directions of the universe. It is only because of the presence of the Sun that we can understand what the sky, higher planets, this world, or lower planets are. It is also only because of the Sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, which are hellish and subterranean. All living entities, including demigods, human beings, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, creepers, and trees, depend upon the heat and light given by the sun god and the sun planet. Furthermore, it is because of the sun's presence that all living entities can see, and therefore he is called Rikishwar, personality of Godhead, presiding over sight. In this regard, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says, Surya Atma, Atma, Atma Vain Opasya. The actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. is therefore Hasya, worshipable. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. Surya is the life and soul of the universe, and there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul, such as the Supreme Person of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. We have information that Vairaja Pranigarbha entered the great dull material globe called the sun. This indicates that the theory held by so-called scientists that no one lives there is wrong. Bhagavad Gita also says that Krishna first instructed Bhagavad Gita, the sun god. Therefore, the sun is not vacant. It is inhabited by living entities, and the predominant deity is Vairaja or Vipasana. The difference between the sun and earth is that the sun is a fiery planet, but everyone there has a suitable body and can live there without difficulties. Thus, in the Bhagavad-Gita purpose, this is Canto 28th chapter of Bhagavad-Gita, entitled Study the Structure of the Universe. So, here we have a completion of the description of Bhumandala. So, within the Bhumandala, we found that the center was Jamudvip, and then the saltwater ocean, and then the Pakshadvip, and then another ocean, and then another island, another ocean, etc. Until we came to the freshwater ocean. Then we have, outside this, we have this area here surrounded by Loka-Loka mountain range, which extends all the way up and blocks the sunlight from going any further. And then equal to the distance from Loka-Loka to the center, there's also equal distance outside. So in other words, half of the radius, Loka-Loka mountain is situated half of the radius of the universe. And then after that, there's an equal distance, a huge distance outside, a billion miles, and then the edge of the universe with all the layers, etc. So, in other words, nothing lives out there on the other half of the universe, the outer part. So only in the inner part. And there's this huge mountain that blocks the light, so it is dark. Therefore, it's called Aloka. Loka means light, Aloka means no light. So the Loka-Loka is the division between the sunlight portion and the non-sunlight portion of the universe. And then it describes here the sun in the center, not literally in the center, because actually Mount Meru is in the center, slightly off, but because its distance from Mount Meru is small in comparison to the whole diameter of the universe, instead of being in the center. And it revolves around Mount Meru and illuminates. It illuminates up, down, and sideways, but only to Loka-Loka Mountain. After that, it can't penetrate. Yeah? So it is within this Loka-Loka Mountain area that all the living entities and all the planets exist. And outside that is all darkness, yeah? Emptiness. So that is the structure. So then we have the, this is the horizontal description of the Bhumandala, with slight variation, because we saw there were mountain ranges going up, including Mount Meru. And then above this we have the different higher planetary systems, Bhuvarloka and Svartaloka, etc., higher and higher and higher in the universe. But they don't go beyond this Loka-Loka mountain range, and the sunlight doesn't go beyond it also. So in this way, we found the description of Bhuloka. So this is in the middle of the universe, in the sense that higher and lower is also there. So higher up we have higher planetary systems, and lower down we got the lower planetary systems down to Patalaloka. And below that we have some space, and we have the Garbhadak Ocean. And Shesha is holding up the whole Bhumandala. So Bhumandala is a solid, we can say a solid entity in one sense here. It's described as a solid entity with oceans, dvipas, and also penetrating down with lokas stuck within this earthy substance until we get the Patalaloka at the bottom. So, and then like a plate, so to speak, with different lokas in the middle. And then we have Mount Meru sticking up on the top and minor mountain ranges around it, and then we have the Loka-Loka mountain range on the outside. So, and then above that, then we have other lokas, but not the same as this Bhuloka. Because this Bhuloka extends all the way to the edge of the universe, and is a solid piece. So the other lokas are there, but lesser in diameter, and also not of the same solid substance as this Bhumandala, which is made out of earthy elements and mountains, etc. So we have Bhuvarloka, which is only in the sky, and we have Svargaloka with planetary systems in it, like Mercury and Mars and Jupiter, etc., in Svargosphere. And then we have higher, more subtle planetary systems like Mahajana and Kapaloka, and then finally Brahmaloka at the very top. So all of these are more or less invisible. The only planetary systems we can see are those in the Svargosphere, that is the Mercury, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, etc. And then the Sun and the Moon, Rahu, those areas which are lower. So we don't see anything of the higher planetary systems or the beings that live there. So all we see is this lower section, those of Svargosphere. We can see these planetary systems moving in the sky along with the Sun, etc. So this is the structure here. This actually is just describing the lower section, that is the Bhumandala section. And it's given dimensions of different things here to the edge of the universe, and details of the center, that is Mount Meru and the surrounding marshes. The same details are not given for higher and lower planetary systems, only very general descriptions are given. So in fact, we don't even know what shape is Brahmaloka, or Mahaloka, Janaloka, or even who lives there. It's not really described in detail, the persons who live there. However, the reason is that it is Bhumandala, which is, we see glorified here by the Devatas, as being very significant, and because it's a place where a lot of the avatars of the Lord appear, particularly Bharatvarsha. So more attention is given to this particular place. The other reason, of course, is that this scripture, Bhagavatam and the Puranas in general, are speaking from the point of view of humans who live here. So it's natural they'll describe this particular place with which we're familiar. And those things which we have no experience of, they don't describe in much detail. So the details are given for this particular Bhumandala and Bharatvarsha, etc. And of course, this is also important because this is the place where one gets the opportunity to develop bhakti and go to the spiritual world. Of course, bhakti is available throughout the universe, but this is considered to be the most favorable place for developing bhakti. Therefore, it's important. And of all those places, Bharatvarsha was selected as the main place. So, throughout the universe, we have places where living entities can take bodies and they can live. And some may be animals and some may be human-like species. So the humans are the ones that can take advantage of spiritual knowledge, Vedas, Puranas, etc., and can advance in their spiritual life. So the whole purpose of this creation is simply to give opportunities for jivas to advance and to give them knowledge. So the according to their karmas, then they end up in different bodies in different places. Because there's infinite number of jivas, infinite number of desires, infinite number of different activities. So they end up in different bodies. So therefore, they're given different places for these bodies, in different varshas, in different dvipas, and in different lokas, higher and lower. And then opportunities given for them, and they can continue to do their karma. So basically the universe is made in this particular way to accommodate all the karmas of all the jivas everywhere. Well, and because they have various karmas, they're stuck in different places. And of course it's not static, because they keep living and dying. So they keep getting new bodies in different places all the time. So all these different places are there for them. It merely illustrates the fact that there is a variety of karmas because of variety of desires of the jivas. And there is infinite variety of jivas. So therefore we have all these different places in the universe for them.
Isn't the variegatedness of the jivas, the varieties of the jivas itself, is reflected because of the variegatedness in the Lord himself.
Well, there's the very definition of jiva is individual. So, and we have infinite number of jivas with infinite individuals, which means they have their own particular preferences. By definition.
The spiritual world is said to be self-illuminating. How that illumination is, or the light is prevented from entering or lighting the universe, the material world?
Well, self-illuminating means that it is conscious. Of course, the jiva is also self-illuminating. And the Supreme Lord, when he enters the universe, is also self-illuminating because they're all conscious. But the jiva, unfortunately, has false ego, subtle body, and gross body, which covers up this nature. What it means and how to interpret it, that's the whole thing. So no one's explained how that takes place or how it is like this or whatever, that's all. So it is given a particular dimension of this and this and this and this and all these different mountain ranges and what. How to apply that is another thing to our modern understanding. But it should be accepted in some form or other. Of course, there's always controversy of how far we can interpret these things, whether we take it literally, that everything is flat, flat earth, or whatever, and everything is the mountain ranges are there, or whatever, that is subject to debate or whatever like that.
We explain things in terms of three dimensions.
Well, we are. So it's a simplified version of universe, ultimately. How to describe it. What are these other dimensions and how they intersect with the three dimensions, etc. We can't really describe that. So, in one sense, when we describe the universe in terms of three dimensions, it is only one way of looking at it, that's all, without taking it apart other dimensions. So if we want to look at it in other ways, then we'll find a different type of form, but we can't really describe that in terms of our modern conventions, so therefore it's rather useless attempt. So, of course, we can say that perhaps the Puranic version of the universe is taking into account this other vision also, and therefore we have a different concept or a different idea of what these things are. So we can't really equate this description with three dimensions, it's from other dimensions. But then how to correlate the two then becomes problematic because we don't have ways of doing that in terms of what our modern, our present understanding.
So descriptions on the Bhagavatam, they depend on the audience who's hearing?
That's also there. So often, like in the Upanishads, some things are meant for common people, some things are meant for elevated people. So one could also take the Puranic stories and simplified versions of things. And then the versions in the, what we call the astronomical treatises, which accept the spherical globe, Bhumandala, whatever like that, Bhugola, as a little more accurate version. So then we have two versions. Simplified versions for common understanding, where we take the Earth in the center and our vision, our particular Varsha in the center, and everything else revolving around it, or then we take the spherical version of the Earth and Earth revolving around the Sun, etc., that version of the astronomers. Which means, again, interpretation in one sense. So some people will accept, some people won't. Some people say we have to take it literally, some things we can interpret. So, because I was that controversy. Our acharyas have not commented one way or the other.
तत्र श्रीमद्भागवती जीवनसंवादाति जीवनसंवादाति दूरप्रमणस्ति